We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The NFL. Now, the big... The big change is the commitment to running.
Oh, man. Beautiful. All right. For joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, former NFL quarterback, ESPN analyst, and I'm assuming fart master, Dan Orlovsky. So real quick, Dan, like, explain to us what happened, because when I was watching it, I actually thought that you were cursing or something like that, and I thought the noise was... I don't know, something from the stands. What happened?
No, so
did you crap your pants?
I honestly wish it was a fart, but it wasn't. Because my microphone's at my mouth and not on my butt. But long story. First of all, I was as nervous as I've ever been, certainly since I asked my wife to marry me. Like, that environment was off the charts in Monday Night Football, whatever. But so again, long story. I was under the impression we were taping, like taping what we were saying in for the open. So I was speaking, I stuttered like an idiot, and I went, like, in my ear, my producer's like, we're on live television. I was like, oh!
And then you get even more flustered.
It's funny because, like, you know, just when you play it back, it sounds like I sneezed and then farted. But no, it was more just me being... unable to speak.
The NFL.
Fantastic.
Now, the big...
Fantastic. Oh, that's outstanding.
Oh, so it wasn't a cheese allergy. All right.
Dan,
No, I wish. That's why I wrote that tweet, man. I shouldn't have hit the blue cheese so hard. You know?
So I wanted to ask you about Mac Jones, because I know a couple weeks ago we talked about, you said you don't believe guys like regress, right, unless it's something off the field, immaturity, whatever. But I'm curious, after 2 weeks... Because one of the great things, obviously, decision-making and accuracy. So what have you seen from Mac Jones the last 2 weeks?
Well, Mac did not play well against Pittsburgh. And I don't believe that there is this individual player regression as far as ability or talent or potential. But his production and his play last week is certainly an example of regression. I have the six plays right here written down. First quarter, 138. First quarter, 53. Third quarter, 831. Second quarter, 1425. Second quarter, 453. Where either not trusting the pocket, not seeing the open person, relatively basic reads that he is not seeing the progression of the play. Guys are open. Those are things that Mac never did last year. Never. I mean, I said last year he was the greatest rookie I'd ever seen when it came to knowing who, what, where, when, and how to throw the football. And this past week, and there's multiple examples. I just gave you a handful of plays that you watch it and you go, last year you throw that ball, but why aren't you throwing it right now?
Yeah.
And play-wise, that last week, there was definitely a regression of play.
So what do you attribute that to? Because one of the brightest spots that we had coming out of a pretty ugly win that we were discussing against the Steelers was how good the offensive line looked, especially compared to what we saw them do against Miami. So, I mean, you know, I'm not necessarily from inside the building in Foxborough, but what makes a quarterback, I guess, stutter that way?
Yeah, I agree with the offensive line, especially like their internal parts, the inside of that. They just decided to run the ball in between the guards, which was good. There's number one, do you have confidence in the people that you're doing it with? That's always what it begins with. Are you confident in the call? And then are you confident in the people that are helping you execute the call? Do you have clarity in what you're looking at? You know, are you looking at the right place or the right people to make those reads? Are you seeing that, you know, when you hear a broadcast, he's just not seeing the field the right way or well? That's it. I've always said this to quarterbacks. You go to the line of scrimmage every play with your play. And when you get the defense, you know that what's the problem of the play? What, is it a protection thing? Is this play a bad, you know, passing concept given what the coverage? What's the problem? You have to know what the problem is. And then you have to know what the opportunity is given what the defense is. Oh, man, we got this play call and they are in quarters coverage. That there's a huge opportunity for me to throw this post. And you always have that kind of checklist of what you should be doing. And it seems at least this past weekend where there's not a lot of conviction or clarity with what and or who he's looking at to get the ball out. You know, Mac is not a physically twitchy as far as like athlete, so to speak. But once that kind of trigger in his mind goes to we're throwing it here, that happens pretty quickly. He's got a pretty snappy release. And so, like, for a lot of quarterbacks, and what it looks like with Mac this past weekend is there's just not a lot of clarity on what or who he should be looking at.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, we're talking to Dan Orlovsky from ESPN, and I was just looking at, you know, Trevor Lawrence, and I was just, you know,
totally
this is why coaching matters. You look at the first year with Trevor Lawrence, you look at his numbers, and you look what he's done in the first two games, 68% of a completion percentage, 255 yards passing per game. And obviously the interception rate is down as well. To me, like I said, I go, well, there you go. Like, there's your answer when it comes to Mac. Like, look at, you know, Trevor Lawrence with Doug Peterson. Look how much evolved he is as compared to last year.
Yeah, and we're actually talking about Trevor on NFL Live today. You could just watch the ball coming out of his hands right now. I always say that. If you can look at the back leg of a quarterback and just watch his foot go into the ground when he gets to the top of his drops, they'll tell you everything. They'll tell you if they feel everything the right way, if they're seeing everything, if they're convicted about what they're seeing. Look at what's going on in Miami. I mean, that quarterback's playing at a completely different level than he did 2 years ago and certainly last year, and that's because of the belief of, hey, man, I want to get in double right, Z short, whatever. Like, okay, coach called this play, and I know it's going to work, you know? And that's what it felt a little bit rewatching the New England game. It just felt a little bit like, hey, we're just going to – let's just run this play and see if it'll work, you know, instead of, oh, man, I know why he's calling this one.
So, Dan, one of the big debates we have around here, too, is like as far as Mac Jones. We know you can win with him. You won with him last year. You had Monday Night Football. You saw Josh Allen. So the question is, 3 years from now, is he a big-money quarterback? Is he a guy that can take you to a Super Bowl, or is it just a ceiling? Is he just good?
So I believe Mac has the ability to become a guy that you can go win a Super Bowl with. I absolutely do. So nowadays in the NFL, you gotta be at the quarterback spot. You gotta beat teams three ways: with your arm, with your mind, and with your legs. You have to, unless you're elite at everything else. And that's where I fall with Mac. Mac is elite at everything else. And he's got to be in a very unique system. He absolutely has to be surrounded by the kind of the high-end people. But you can go win with him. He's not Josh. You know, Mac is not going to be a guy that covers up for X's and O's. He's not going to be the guy that when you call, you know, a play to go rolling to your left and the defense drops in man coverage, but they cover it. He can get the Stephon Diggs all the way backside running around. He's not that. But if you make sure that you continue to support him in the right way and he's in a system that is built upon utilizing those elite skills of ball placement, coverage identity and location, the type of throws that are necessary, the ball handling, like that, all those things, yeah, you can go win a Super Bowl with him for sure. 3 years from now, is he a big-money quarterback? Not unless he gets out of the situation he's in right now.
So, Dan, Cole Strange, obviously the first-round pick for the Patriots in the most previous draft, he had a good day on Sunday. But do you feel like at this point in the season that it was the right move to take him at that point in the draft? Or would you have rather seen the Patriots go after somebody that would be more of a weapon for Mac, so a pass catcher, a receiver, a tight end?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the biggest believer in the fronts, the offensive and defensive lines. I always say this, a great offensive line accentuates everybody's strengths and it magnifies everybody's weaknesses if you have a bad one. So if you got a good offensive line, a player like Kendrick Bourne or Jacoby Myers, they're better than they actually are because they got more time to work. The quarterback's got more time to hold on to the ball. So, I mean, from the people who I value their opinion on offensive line play, they said that he played phenomenal, especially against Cam Hayward a bunch in those one-on-one situations. So I could sit here and tell you, like, yeah, it looks like that was the proper decision as far as how that player is shown right now. I've become a Jacoby Myers guy. You know, I think Jacoby's made some really nice plays. I actually think, for the most part, New England was pretty good versus man coverage against Pittsburgh. You know, they were eating up man coverage, crossing the middle of the field relatively good. So as much as I sit here and love receivers, I don't think having this, like, the receivers that came out of the draft this year, maybe like in that late 20s, I don't believe that there was anyone available that's changing this offense that much.
So, Dan, you know, obviously the Ravens heading over here to our neck of the woods to play the Patriots. Yeah. They're going to be a little upset. You know, not really excited about that. But just looking at Lamar Jackson, contracts on the table, like, what would your main concern be signing Lamar Jackson to a fully guaranteed long-term contract? Or would you have a concern?
Yeah, the biggest concern is how long do you think he can play with the style that he plays? That's a real thing. You know, so you guys mentioned I did that Monday Night Football game, and I've been a person who swung a little bit on this, the quarterback hits thing, because after I've seen Lamar play for so long, he truly does not take a ton of big hits. He does such a good job of avoiding them, and you can make the case that quarterbacks get hit in the pocket and hurt just as much as they do outside of it, but they do expose themselves to more hits running quarterbacks. We were talking to Sean McDermott about it with Josh Allen, and he said, listen, it's undefeated. The more hits quarterbacks take, the lesser they play and the shorter they play. He's like, it's undefeated. I've seen it everywhere I've been. Donovan McNabb, Cam Newton. So that would probably be the big thing that you're focused on is like, where do we stand on this? Can we mitigate some of these hits? Other than that, I have nothing. He's an incredible talent. He's phenomenal as a teammate. He's a pillar within their community. He's got great competitive leadership. They've won a gajillion games with them. Is it a fair question to ask, can you win a Super Bowl with that style of offense? That's fair. I believe you can. And I believe he makes up for lesser talent around him, and they draft consistently well organizationally. So I would have no hesitation paying Lamar.
Mike. Your mic on?
Yeah, my mic's on. Last one for me. We were talking about this wide receivers. You just mentioned Kendrick Bourne. You like him. But is it bad to have, like, four good ones? Because you really can't get three guys, like, you know, what they really may need. You know, we all just look at it and say Myers is the guy. Then maybe Aguilar, Bourne. Like, is Devontae really fit here? He needs targets. Because you still got Thornton coming back here, the rookie that they liked in week five or six. So it's how do you get four guys in a rhythm? Are you better off almost just sticking with three and trying to get this thing going?
No, it's not bad to have that. Here's where they are lacking, and here's where the issue shows. Those guys are all threes and fours in the NFL. They don't really have a number one or number two wide receiver. No, they're good threes and good fours. Like, I think Jacoby's a good three. Kendrick's a good three. Nelson right now is a good three. But look at some of these receiving cores in the league. Look at then the division. Steph and Gabe, they're a legit 1-2. Obviously, Tyreek and Jalen, a legit 1-2. Shoot, in New York, you're looking at Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson, a legit 1-2. They don't have a 1 or number 2. So that's where the issue comes is when you have all these pieces, you know, even looking at Kansas City who moved on from Tyreek, they have legitimate number 2 receivers. You know what I'm saying? Like, Juju's a good number 2. MVS is a good 2. Sky Moore is going to become a good two. They have their one in Travis. So that's where it is when you're designing these offensive plays, oftentimes it's, well, here's our one. Let's get him the ball. And we've got our two here. And listen, our three is so good that if they're paying extra attention to our one and two, you're going to get their fourth or fifth corner. Go wear him out. That's where the issue shows.
Mm-hmm. All right, listen, Dan, we really appreciate it. Be careful, you know, next time you're on the TV. I don't know, you got any more games? I know it's a doubleheader Monday night, but
you know what's crazy is, I mean, obviously that happened two nights ago, and I've heard it 4,000 times, and I cannot stop laughing at it. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you're happy we played it two or three more times.
My maturity level is better than you guys.
All right, Dan Orlovsky, we appreciate it, man. Looking forward to talking to you again next week.
Have a good week, guys.
All right, take it easy. Dan, by the way, is brought to you by Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros at needco.com. We come back. We'll react to what Dan Orlovsky said. I'm curious to get your thoughts on these guys being threes and four. And there was an article in The Ringer that kind of looked at the Patriots, find out what tier they put him in. We'll discuss it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We were talking about this wide receivers. You just mentioned Kendrick Bourne. You like him. But is there in a way, is it bad to have like four good ones? Because you really can't get three guys what they really may need.
It's not bad to have that. Here's where they are lacking, and here's where the issue shows. Those guys are all threes and fours. They don't really have a number one or number two wide receiver. That's where it is when you're designing these offensive plays, oftentimes it's, well, here's our one, let's get him the ball, and we've got our two here. And listen, our three is so good that if they're paying extra attention to our one and two, you're going to get their fourth or fifth corner. Go wear him out. That's where the issue shows.
That was Dan Orlovsky. We just talked to him. We talk to him every single week at 3 o'clock here on Maloney, Fourier, and Mago.
Those are biting words.
I disagree with some of the stuff that he said here in the interview. And threes and fours, like that might be a stretch. And where I really disagree is when he started talking about Kansas City's weapons. I don't disagree with anything else. But you're going to tell me, like, you don't think Pat Mahomes would rather have some of these guys? Like Juju Smith-Schuster, he says he's legit number two. I'm not so sure he is anymore. Like Marquez Valdez-Scantling, like he was trash in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Like he's just okay. He's nothing special. These guys aren't anything special. You know, I don't know what Sky Moore is going to turn into, but out in Kansas City, those guys are legit because of their quarterback Pat Mahomes, okay? But I think Mahomes would rather have these guys.
I think it's knowing, you know, being able to play with the best to ever do it, like how much better everybody else gets when you have like a really good guy running the show. Like, think about just like any receiver that plays in Buffalo is going to suddenly his number is going to be up. He's going to be well respected. He's going to also become a stud. And when his contract runs out, a bunch of people are going to say, wow, he can do the same thing with us. No, but you got to take the quarterback with you. I mean, I feel like I'm almost so kind of like beat up and tired of the disrespect that this offensive receiving core is getting. Like, do they have
threes and fours is rough.
That's like insulting.
I go up one, two, twos and threes. I think twos and threes.
I think that that's
threes
reasonable.
Threes and fours is rough.
That's why I said those are fighting words.
So none of them could start on an NFL roster then. If you're a three and a four, you're in a
normal base set.
You're not a starter. Mako, you have your two wide receivers, you have your two backs, and you have your tight end. In a traditional set, you're not starting.
See, I feel like fours to me means you're not a starter. You know what I mean?
What
like
is
you
a
said.
Three? Three isn't a starter.
In a way, I get it. Like, I'm saying, like, Jacoby Myers is if you're Jacoby Myers is your three, that's a pretty good receiving core. Like, Kendrick Bourne, you're three. All right. Aguilar's your three. Like, I get it. So maybe they're threes. You know what I mean? Or and the reason why they're not twos is because they don't have Steph Diggs. Like, Juju was a two because he had Antonio Brown, you know, and it made him actually look a lot better, right? Or Gabe Davis. If there was no Steph Diggs, is Gabe Davis a legit two? Or are we calling him a three? But you know what I mean? So if there was an absolute pig, like a stud wide receiver here in Boston, you might be sitting there saying, well, Aguilar's pretty good too. Or Jacoby Myers is pretty good too.
Did you say an absolute pig?
Yeah, pig. What? Like just stud, like oh. just yeah.
yeah. He just eats everything. He just only knows like just gluttony. Pig. Only
but
knows
I've heard
to get
that
fat.
Yeah, yeah.
The kind of yes. pig that like spills his yeah. coffee all
yeah.
over
but
the
but cleans
desk
it up. That type
so
of
I think
pig.
The lack
oh,
of
this
a
is
true.
What you call clean
I'm not
yeah.
done yet.
Of,
yeah.
of
you know, look at her doing. Like calling me out. I spilled my coffee.
Christian,
do you think this is done?
Entire mug of coffee.
I just heated up. I mean, I did an excellent mix too. It was so tasty. It was very tasty. But pigs, I get it. So my thing with this is like. Even like if you're a three, even if you're in a personnel grouping that would start you, so it's three wide, one receiver, whatever, you're still the third option, possibly the fourth option. You're just a placeholder if you're a three on any team.
Any of these guys one or two in Buffalo?
What?
No.
No.
Okay, Diggs so is obvious number
so
one.
There you go.
But any of them, were putting up major numbers and contributing big time if they're the number two.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the point. They're good threes. Like, they're threes because you look at some good wide receiving groupings and you're like, no. Okay, three. Like, in Miami, any of them, they're all three.
Yeah, but you're picking out teams that have the most elite one and two in the league.
Yeah.
Between
so you
Miami and Buffalo.
Use it this
and
way.
They both happen to be in your division, so it's very easy for us to compare.
Good point, because they'd be twos in L.A. with the Rams. You know, and I don't know, maybe you'd put Robinson, but I'm just saying, you got Cooper Kupp, and you got Kendrick Bourne, you got Cooper Kupp, and you got Jacoby Myers. Like, you know, I mean, you're sitting there
some
saying, okay.
Some of these guys, I don't know about Jacoby because I feel like he's so Patriots specific, but somebody like Kendrick, I feel like, if used in the right way and coached in the right way,
here.
Could be, I'm saying, used in the right yeah. way and coached in the right yeah. way, could be a two in plenty of other systems.
Yeah, but my thing, before you take this call, like, if you're going to compare it. If you're looking at, call it a number one, it's the difference between an ace and a number one, like yeah. as a pitcher. Like there's Agreed. An ace and then there's a number one pitcher.
Every team has a number one.
Every team has, but is that number one also an ace?
Yes, not
that,
really.
That differentiates, you know, like Agreed. How good somebody really is. Diggs is an ace.
Yeah. Right,
Kupp
so
is an ace.
Yeah, so you just heard Dan Orlovsky talking about this wide receiving grouping. Threes and fours might be a little rough. Threes, all threes, I don't know if you got any fours. Twos, threes, whatever you want to call it. Let's go to Ray in Boston who disagree with it. Go ahead, Ray.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Bologna, I agree with you 100% on everything you just said.
Wow. We're coming around.
I mean, I don't think it's that hard, though. I mean, that's pretty easy. Like, that's just not accurate. It's like threes and fours? It's ridiculous.
My point is, I know, and it's true, if you take the middle portion of the league and say, okay, does Jacoby Myers fit in that offense? Yeah, I'd say he does. But my point is that he said, oh, you have to have elite ones and twos. Oh, look at Jalen Waddle. Look at Chris Olave. The problem is those guys were taken with top five, top seven, top eight draft picks. I'd rather not lose 12 games a season to have a chance to have a one. I'd rather just win 12 a season and then not have to have a top pick like that and get a receiver. Like, you have to have a high pick to get high draft talent, 6 foot guy, one
really.
To 4'3".
Not really, Ray. I mean, when you think about the draft, I mean, you want to go back to the N'Keal Harry? Thanks for the call, but N'Keal Harry draft? Like, how many, we want to talk about all the wide receivers the Patriots passed on to take N'Keal Harry in the second and third round? I mean, There are all some studs there. And yeah, sure, Waddle went early, whatever. You know, he's talking about Garrett Wilson, the kid up in New York. What do you go, 10th overall? So yeah, I get it, but let's not pretend like wide receivers. Like, when did Cooper Kupp get drafted?
I don't, sixth, seventh, late round pick.
So I'm just saying, like, you don't have to have a top, you don't have to suck to get one of these guys. You could, if you suck, you could swing and miss on one of these guys.
Well, you had to be able to evaluate it. I mean, it's like, look at the Steelers. They just did it again with, what's his name, Pickens.
But you know what?
So, receiver that they just brought in.
But Jalen Waddle may be a good example. Oh, yeah, Pickens at Pittsburgh.
Like, he looks like he's going to be a stud down the road. So he's already productive. He'll probably be a stud. Whatever they do, they hit on these wide receivers all the time. You don't.
But Waddle's
a
good
example.
That's
not your bread and butter.
So maybe you drafted him to be a number one guy. You've had him for a couple years, and you're like, not really. So you bring in Tyreek Hill. So now you just turn into a guy, you're like, I don't know if he is, where he fits. And also Tyreek Hill shows up, and you're like, okay, now he's a great two. Now we're loaded. So you can do it in free agency. You don't have to suck. You can go out there and get one of these guys. You could trade for them. Look
but
around
you went
the
out in free agency, and you essentially got, I guess, these guys who Orlovsky calls threes and fours. I mean, that's Nelson Agholor. That's, I don't know if he's talking, we're talking specifically about receivers, but I don't, we didn't ask him how he feels about Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry.
See, like, if a ace type quarterback, I'm not gonna use Brady, if an ace type quarterback had this receiving core, he would be putting up numbers. He would be playing, they would be playing at next level. Like, they maybe they don't get the Pro Bowl and the you know, the, all the accolades that go along with it, but they would be a high powered offense with an Aaron Rodgers, with a Patrick Mahomes, with a Justin Herbert. They would. Because the arm talent is so dangerous, you have to account for that in some way, shape, or form.
Well, again, I mean, if I'm Pat Mahomes, I'd rather have these four guys.
Well, I think this
I get all these guys and I get these tight ends. Let's go.
This ties directly. I mean, you're talking about the quarterback. This ties directly into a piece that The Ringer just put out. Stephen Ruiz.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. He talked about the middle class of the AFC. And in the they don't stand a chance tier, he put the Patriots. And one of the things he specifically said in this is the Patriots just don't have enough playmakers around Mac Jones, who isn't a playmaker himself. And with no options on the perimeter and a quarterback who doesn't have the arm to consistently make tight window throws over the middle, New England's passing game has been forced into a box that stretches no further than 20 yards downfield and rarely attacks outside the numbers. So at the beginning, he talks about Patricia and Joe Judge, whatever. We did that for months. But he says it really comes down to a lack of playmakers. So it sounds like this is how the rest of the league and the experts, the talking heads, this is how they are all evaluating the situation here. It's not necessarily just about the coaching or the lack of support or the basic scheme or anything. It comes down to the personnel.
I think he kind of nailed it, right? I mean, again, like, they don't have playmakers, and they don't have a quarterback that's a playmaker. You know, we can talk about Mac, but he's not. You know, and again, like I said, I think Mahomes would love these wide receivers. I think Aaron Rodgers would love these wide receivers. And they don't, you know, does he have the arm? We talked about it before. He's come back with a stronger arm. I don't know if he has the arm. The tight throws over the middle to just, you know, throw it in there. So what's their game? Forced? They're just go down the field, 12 plays, try not to make any mistakes, try to finish in the red zone.
Complimentary
football. Yeah, it's not the NFL. It's how you win in the NFL.
And that's why, like,
I survive.
Like, to me, like, the difference from between year one and year two for Trevor Lawrence is so substantial. Just how, like, you have this unbelievable talent, but he just was led in the wrong direction. Was no accountability. Being taught like he's some, like, college kid coming out of high school. He wasn't taught by a pro coach. Like, Doug Peterson comes in. He's like, no, let me show you how it's done. And he instantly, it's like an obvious difference. So his numbers are up. His touchdown to the interception ratio is down. And then you have Mac Jones that you would think that would take a significant leap in year two, and he's not doing it.
All right, let's go to Nate in the truck, who I think agrees with Dan. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, you guys got to look. Let's start with N'Keal Harry real quick. They had the opportunity with A.J. Brown and Deebo Samuel. I mean, the scouts for us came in and said, hey, he told Bill, you should pick either one of those guys. Wouldn't it look really good right now to have Deebo Samuel and actually run that Kyle Shanahan offense?
Yes.
That's not the reason why I called. So now looking at the threes and fours right now, it has to do a lot with the quarterback too. But also you got to look at it that the fact that where these guys come from. Kendrick Bourne came from like the third option in San Francisco. The Devontae Parker, his seventh year in the league, hasn't played a full season. Jacoby Myers was an undrafted a rookie. Come on now. Like, the problem it all comes down to, and we all know, is because of the Bill Belichick GM duty, okay? Because if he actually would listen to other people other than himself that's talking in his head to pick this guy or whoever that guy is coming up and actually have his trust upon those guys, we would actually have a number one receiver right now. Maybe trade for a Diggs like we had the opportunity. Or even who's coming in this weekend, Lamar Jackson, we had the opportunity to draft him. So he's got to relinquish those duties, and if he never relinquishes those duties, we're never going to go ahead and start moving forward in the right direction where this league is going.
All right. Thanks, Nick. I mean, that's a question I think that I think people have brought up before in the past, like bringing these guys in. I just, you know, the conversation about threes and fours, I don't know, Devontae Parker, does it matter how long he's been in the league? I know he's been trouble being healthy, but in Miami, what was he?
He was the year.
Is this guy going to tell me that he wasn't a number one in Miami?
He was.
Now, you could question how quality he was a number one in Miami, but he was number one in Miami. Kendrick Bourne. In San Fran, what was he?
He was a
at the end of the day, you had
two
Debo.
Slash three.
Yes, yes. So I would say borderline slash two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Up and coming kind of guy. You know, and again, I think he agrees that threes and fours. The only problem I have is putting fours on that label. Fours. Fours mean you're not a starter, which I don't agree with. You could argue they're all threes. And if you had a stud, a pig, Mego.
I like that. I just.
Then they would be a number two. Some of them would be number two.
Well, you've
never heard the pig phrase?
Like that person's a pig?
Yeah, just a stud.
No, that guy's a pig.
You see somebody like, you know, sitting in the buffet line, loading his plate up with food, you're like, what a pig.
No, I've heard it in like a derogatory term.
You're saying, look at that girl. Oh, she's such a pig. I've never heard somebody be like,
oh, that guy, real pig.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish we had drafted a pig like that.
He used it in fantasy a lot.
This week,
like Chubb was a pig. Actually, he was. His third touchdown never should have happened, but he was a pig.
Is there a way for you to kind of include the phrase pig into your next column?
I don't think so.
No,
I'm
going to
be writing a Celtics column tonight.
So,
I don't think I can use pig in that. Yes, somebody has to write about the Celtics here.
Let me go back to the Steven Ruiz article you referenced in The Ringer. So
look
he's
showing off how easily he pronounces names.
He's Spanish.
I play baseball. He put the Red Sox, I mean the Patriots, speaking of baseball, in a they don't stand a chance tier. You know, because we were talking about this before, the power rankings.
Yeah.
You know, remember we were looking at them like, okay, if you put the Pats at 16, 15 is Cincinnati. Anybody below Cincinnati, I agree with them, doesn't stand a chance. You know what I mean? Is that accurate? That's why I said like that 16 to 24 in that power rankings, they're going to rotate every day. Every week they're going to kind of rotate. Somebody might jump to 14, and then they're back to reality at 20. I agree with them. Like, we don't think they have a chance. They don't have a chance. I don't know if you're offended by that, are you?
To do what? No, I mean.
To win. They don't have a chance.
No, I don't. I feel like they are in the boat of, you know, one game above 500, two games below 500. 500, okay, there's 3 weeks left. Oh, okay, you know, we got to win this game. We got to need help from this guy. And then you're sitting there going, okay, then you end up losing two of the remaining three because that's who you are. Like you, and you look at the games at the last, where they end with Buffalo. Like, Buffalo's just going to beat them up just for old time's sake. Like, this is for, like, you know, the 20 years of just, you know, beating the crap out of us. Like, we owe you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really about the division to me, at least the way it started out in these first two games. And it's a matter of, you look to the left, you go, who's the crappy team to the left? Okay, it's the Jets. Yeah. You look to the right, who's the crappy team to the right? Oh, I don't think it's the Dolphins. I think it's us. You know, I mean, that's the situation that you're in your own division.
I got to take this call from Nick in Portland.
Yes.
This is just too juicy. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, just calling in. You know, we talk about Mac Jones a lot and like his ceiling and where he could go. And I just look at him as like he's a Jared Goff caliber guy, you know, doesn't do anything special. He makes the right plays. If he's got good coaching and good players, he can succeed. But without that, there's not much of a ceiling.
All right, appreciate
it. Ooh, that hurts.
I'll say this. Jared Goff's going to have a better year than Mac Jones. I mean, you disagree with that?
No, I don't think that the comp.
He's obsessed with Dan Campbell.
That is not a terrible, insulting comp.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's not that. I wanted to hear it because it's not crazy. I'm sorry, but Tua last, you could debate whether Tua is going to be better or Goff's a better quarterback, whatever. Both of those guys, given who they have and what they do with their team, are going to have better years than Mac Jones.
How is that not an insult?
Well,
the Rams.
It is if you think he's the future, which I don't. I have no problem saying it.
The Rams gave up on him after giving him a massive extension and regretted it immediately.
I don't think Jared Goff is the processor that we've seen Mac able to be, and I know that's not who he was last week. I also, as I've said before, I give him a bit of a pass because he was coming off of back spasms and a tummy tum that kept him out of Thursday's practice and still walked away with a conference win on the road. But I mean, we talk so much about how Mac's biggest asset is his big brain. I don't think Jared Goff has that at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I don't think it's an insult. I mean, listen, you made it to the Super Bowl. You just couldn't finish it. Jimmy Garoppolo made it to the Super Bowl. Just couldn't finish it.
Jared Goff, two-time Pro Bowler. Two-time.
Alternate?
I don't even know if he's an alternate. I know Mac was, but I don't know if he was. So there you go. He's a pig. Ryan also likes my other phrase, werewolf.
I love werewolf.
Werewolf and pig, Mago. I like werewolf and pig. Guys,
I'm
going to
hear what a werewolf is.
It's similar. It's gonna be. I could have said he's a, you know, it was a werewolf. Whatever. Werewolf and pig. That's how we do it.
This is like a barnyard.
Yeah, that's how we draw. All right. Some news here. We mentioned it yesterday when the news broke on the Time Lord, Robert Williams. I want to get this comment here from Adrian Wojnarowski. We'll talk a little Celtics and the possible timeline for Robert Williams. We'll do it next.
WEEI. New England's
sports original.
Paint the walls, paint the halls, we can help you do it all. Arch Painting.
Hi folks, it's Joe Giacalone, owner of Arch Painting. With all the hot weather this summer, I'm sure you've been outside enjoying your yard or pool, or just staying inside with the cool AC. Either way, you probably noticed things that need fixing and painting around your house. So do what more New Englanders have done over the past 25 years and call the pros at Arch Painting. We're a local, family-owned and operated business that puts our customers first. And it shows with our amazing reviews from all our happy customers. Right now, save big during our 25-year anniversary celebration. For a free estimate, download our free mobile app, call us at 1-844-ARCH-PAINTING or visit us online at archpainting.com.
Your vision brought to life. Arch Painting, your vision brought.
You deserve more internet than what you get from just your cell phone. Get Xfinity high-speed internet at home free through the Affordable Connectivity Program. That's right, eligible customers can get Internet Essentials Plus, a $29.95 a month value, free when they enroll in the Affordable Connectivity Program. Get free high-speed internet with unlimited data and a wireless gateway included at no extra cost. No fees, no taxes, and no annual contract. App now to get this incredible deal for more streaming, more gaming, and more chatting on more devices at home. Your cell phone can't do that. Get Xfinity high-speed internet at home through the Affordable Connectivity Program and connect to more of what you love for free. To see if you qualify, go to Xfinity.com/free, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Restrictions apply. After program participation ends, Comcast standard charges, taxes, and fees apply. May not be combined with other offers.
Are you a healthcare IT CIO or CFO in need of skilled InterSystems tech pros for healthcare interoperability? How about integration projects? If so, Henry Elliott and Company is your solution, as they specialize in keeping healthcare running with InterSystems IT experts. Learn more at info@henryelliott.com. For over 30 years, Henry Elliott and Company has been the InterSystems healthcare solution. That's info@henryelliott.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
4 to 6 weeks recovery for Robert Williams III on a left knee surgery he's going to have on Thursday, I'm told. This is the second procedure now in 6 months. He had that torn meniscus back in March. This is, I'm told, is more of a cleanup in that left knee, a scope. And so obviously he'll miss training camp, he'll miss the preseason, and very likely with this 4 to 6 week time frame into the start of the regular season.
Ooh. Ooh, it's like the Matrix in here. It was Woj on ESPN. The news broke yesterday that Rob Williams, the Time Lord, he's going in for a second surgery. According to Woj there, it's a cleanup one. So out for probably a month and a half, if not longer. They always say this, right? Okay, so the initial surgery was to repair the meniscus, which had a small tear or a slight tear back right before the playoffs started. He came back in the playoffs. I said, I don't know. This feels like it's going to be a long-term thing. At the time, I was like, I understand why you want to throw him in there, and you got to the NBA Finals, but it's never going to end with this guy. He's 24. He's already going in now for another surgery on that knee, and they always say, oh, it's a cleanup thing, right? He decided to go back, you know, ramp things back up before training camp starts, and then, starting to feel not so good here. Feeling a little sensitive. Maybe there's a little swelling. Got to go in, get this thing scoped out. Ugh, need another surgery. I mean, it is the most predictable thing, right? We'd be more surprised if he came out and we were like,
he's fine.
He looks awesome. Look at him.
Yeah, he's going to have to string, a couple years together before I think that stigma is removed from his name. Because when you say Time Lord, you think, okay, he shows up late.
No, I think he's overcome that.
No, I know. But the point is that he's always going to be concerned. You're always going to have to, I guess, schedule around his health and just overly protect him. Like, give him Wednesdays off. Well, I don't give him Wednesdays off because Brady asked for Wednesdays off and he's still practicing. No, it's a problem. You have to create depth just in case. Break glass in case of emergency. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I agree. I want to play this other Woj clip because there's a couple things on this clip that I want to get into first. This is Adrian Wojnarowski getting more into it.
You know, Boston still has a roster spot left. There's still some veteran bigs out there in the marketplace. If they decide that they want to add somebody, you know, Dwight Howard is out there. LaMarcus Aldridge is out there. A player I was told they showed a little interest in this summer. But, you know, they expect to have him back at 100%. Fairly early in the season, so I think it still remains to be seen whether Boston feels like it needs to go out and get some help. And really, mostly, this is going to be a preseason training camp injury.
Good for a couple things. I want to start with the last one. Their confidence is going to be back to 100%. Like, are you?
No.
Is anyone?
He's never going to be 100%. And I don't take any joy in saying that because he's a really fun player to watch and he adds a lot to this team. But that's just not the body type. He's injury prone. These are the realities. And the sooner that you accept them, at least behind closed doors, and say, we've got to take out major insurance on this guy, the better off you are.
Which is why going into the offseason, I loved Gallinari signing and Brogdon. I loved it. It was great. You know, push that bench down. It was obvious needed bench scoring. They prioritized that, even though Gallinari defensively may not fit their system. But still, they said, we need scoring. And they went out and got him. But as we're going through the season, we're like moving forward. One thing Brad Stevens absolutely 100% needs to do is have, you know, Rob Williams insurance. You got to go out and get some depth at the, you know, a big. You got to go out and get somebody. And he didn't go out and get anybody, at least hasn't yet. You know, Al Horford is coming back. They've already publicly come out and said that he's not playing back-to-back nights, right? They're going to take care of him. Third game of the year, back-to-backs. They're in Orlando. Luke Kornet starting? Is that where we're at right now? Like, is that what we're doing?
And to your point,
to the deadline, Luke, or something?
So Brad decided earlier in the offseason not to go and be aggressive in finding another big. And now you're left with the choices of Dwight Howard, LaMarcus Aldridge. Look, I love LaMarcus Aldridge as a player 5 years ago.
Boogie.
I don't have a problem with Boogie Cousins.
He is actually the unique pig / werewolf.
What is a werewolf? He used to be a pig.
He used to be a double machine stuff.
What's a werewolf?
I don't know. Werewolf to me.
It's more related to women.
Just more. No. What? I don't know. We'll get into it. When it comes up, I'll be like, that's the definition of a werewolf. Werewolf will come. Yeah.
How about a manimal?
But you're right. You got to get someone like that. Don't you? You have to get someone like that.
Well, I'm just saying, so these names that Woj threw out, I don't know if those are random or it's just like the biggest names that are out on the market in terms of available bigs, but Dwight Howard is 36, and I don't think anyone in the league likes him. And LaMarcus Aldridge, he probably has a great relationship with Ime Udoka. They overlapped in San Antonio, but he's 37. So at some point, it's like, right now, your starter is 24, but he's unavailable half the time.
And
your other...
How old
your
is Al?
Other big is 36.
Yeah, so he's your starter. He's 36.
Yeah, but you're not going to...
But he can't start every night.
I would say, like, in this situation, you really do need to go out and get a starter.
You absolutely 100%
You can't get a role player. You have to get a guy that, you know, like, his goal is to start.
We were really high on Luke.
And that's not it. Like, can they get by for the first... I mean, I know he's saying that this is a camp injury, but I don't trust it. I think your best bet is to just let him rest as long as humanly possible. You may see him in 2023 on a regular basis. I'd even say he'd be on a pitch count if he actually is playing.
And
if
he does should come back. Be because they'll need him more.
Him and Al are going to be out at the same time. Do they kind of somehow try to like make it so
small
Al's
ball
out.
Lineup?
Honest to God. Like if you don't
Grant
get out
Williams,
and get a serious starter,
top
then you're just
player?
Talk about how risky that situation is. You can't count on him. At least not yet.
I know.
You can't. He's probably going to end up having some sort of degenerative knee issue where it's constantly swelling. He's constantly dealing with it. Can he make it through the postseason?
Listen, the difference to me with this team is that this team was in the NBA Finals last year. You know what I mean? So it's like you can't mess around with, you know, already lost Gallinari. You're going to lose Rob Williams. And when he comes back, we all know you got to protect him. You also got to protect Al Horford because he's getting old. He could have a knee flare-up. He could miss 3 or 4 weeks. So it's like, do they seriously consider, do you know how much playing time and games played Luke Kornet is going to get for the
We've
first
really
time?
Really high on Luke. We thought he had a terrific G League season.
Fine. Fourth center. I don't know. I mean, is this where we're at? Like a team that's going to win, it's going to go into the year and be like, we'll address it at some point. Like, okay, but you're going to get through the first 40, 50 games with Luke Kornet starting? Because honestly, if it's not, you know, Rob Williams being out, it's going to be Al missing some time, then Rob missing some time. They got to go get another big.
You're right. And it's not one of these names. I'm sorry. It's not. That basically now you're rotating three guys in who are all just, you know, part-time bigs. It's just not. I don't think that works. So you have to go out and invest in somebody else. We're going to do more Celtics talk coming up because ESPN has released their top 100 NBA players. They haven't released the top 10 yet. You'll be surprised. There's a lot of Celtics on this list. I think you'll be surprised who's at number 99. He just barely made it on the list. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.